You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
If you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So, hey, church family, we are in it. We are doing our series called Christmas Town. Again, the Advent season is fully underway. And let me just remind you, the whole purpose of Advent is that we, as God's people, would continue to get ourselves ready, that we would prepare our hearts. And the idea is we're going to celebrate that Jesus came, but we're going to prepare our hearts again for the arrival of Jesus. We want to receive Jesus. We want to celebrate the fact that our King has arrived. Amen? And there are four themes that the church as a whole has historically celebrated or focused on throughout the Advent season. We talked about the first one last week. We talked about how we can have hope because we can put our faith in Jesus. And today, we're going to talk about the second one. We're going to talk about peace today. Let's talk about peace, church family. How peaceful are you? How much peace do you have? On a scale from 1 to 10, how peaceful are you? And what does it take for you to feel like you have peace? What do you do to get some peace? What are the environments you try to put yourself in so that you can experience some peace? Maybe for some of you, maybe you have little kids, and so you get some peace after you put those kids to bed and you got some Netflix and a bowl of ice cream. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Maybe you get peace when you're in your deer stand hugging your 30-06. Maybe it's payday. Maybe payday is what gives you some peace. Or I don't know, maybe it's like a game on your phone where you try to escape for a little while and you just, like you're playing a game on your phone like Candy Crush or Smash Ball. Do you guys know about Smash Ball? So, yeah, come on. My kids put Smash Ball on the iPad. They didn't even know what Dad was going to do with that thing. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, I've been killing it at Smash Ball lately. If you don't know about Smash Ball, well, maybe you don't need to download it, but you might need to. You know what I'm going to do this afternoon, church? I'm going to go home, I'm going to take a nap, I'm going to wake up and play some Smash Ball. I'm going to get my relaxation on. It kind of gives me some peace. It doesn't give everybody peace, though. The other day, Rachel and I were in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, the iPad was flying through the air. And that's because our youngest son had thrown it into the air after he got frustrated that he lost at Smash Ball. He didn't have any peace with that. So we had a talk, and I told him I could relate that back in the 80s, I was known for maybe slamming some Nintendo controllers down into the floor really hard when I lost. I know I'm not the only one. You guys are staring at me like you've never done that. Come on. What is it that gives you peace? What gives you peace? And let's just be real for a moment, okay? Everything I just mentioned, everything from Netflix to paychecks, those things really aren't able to give you any peace, right? Those things really aren't able to give you any peace. Those things might be able to put you at ease for a little while. Those things might give you some momentary relief, but those things really can't give us any peace. Here's what those things really do for us. They give us momentary mental breaks. They allow us to have an opportunity to check out from reality for a little while so that we can maybe experience some relaxation. Come on, at the end of a long day, you want to shut your brain off, so we turn the TV on. And then on payday, we experience some relief, and you might even feel really good. You're like, I got money again. And so you go buy things that are outside of the reality of your budget. And then reality begins to set in, and all of a sudden you're looking forward to the next payday so that you can get some more relief, right? Okay, here's what I think. I think we are living in a culture that is deeply confused about what true peace really is. I think we are really confused. We're living in a world right now that confuses true peace with momentary mental breaks. We try to find peace by mentally checking out. Come on, it's no secret right now that the world, that people as a whole today are more stressed out, full of more anxiety, depression, and fear than perhaps ever before. Come on, we don't know what true peace is. Most people are missing out on true, lasting, fulfilling peace. So we try to find ways to mentally check out from it all. We spend a lot of money on trying to find ways to get a break from it all. Big time grace this morning, but we try to get peace in all the wrong places. We try to find peace in having more money or getting more stuff or more activities or drinking or drugs or sex or pornography, you name it. But listen to me, none of those things will give you the peace that you desire. In fact, they can't. And here's why. Because there is only one source of peace. There is only one place that you can get peace, and his name is Jesus. But again, let's be honest. Okay, we know the world is stressed out right now. But at the same time, there are so many people that show up in church on a regular basis and they're still just as stressed out. How can that be? I mean, if Jesus is our source of peace, how can it be that we're still showing up in church trying to find Jesus and yet we still have no peace? We will talk about that, okay? Here's the title of today's message, Qualified for Peace. Qualified for Peace. I want us to see today if we're qualified to receive peace. I want you to see today if you're eligible to receive true peace from God. And if you're not, what does it take to get qualified, okay? If you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 8 and go through verse 14, okay? We're going to look at what happened immediately after Jesus was born. There were shepherds in the region where Jesus was born, and then these angels show up right after Jesus was born, and they tell these shepherds the best news of all time. They tell them what just happened, that Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah, he has been born. And here's what I want us to notice today. In these verses, these angels are going to tell us precisely why. They're going to tell us precisely why Jesus was born, why he came to the earth, and we're going to see just who it is that qualifies to receive peace. We're going to see what the qualifications are for receiving peace. All right, are you guys ready? Here we go. Luke 2, verse 8 says, that night, this is Christmas night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him, Jesus, by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. Picture thousands upon thousands of angels. And they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And watch this. Watch this so closely. And peace. And peace. Come on, do you guys see that? And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace to those with whom God is pleased. Another translation actually says peace to those on whom God's favor rests. Okay, now I'm going to get to the main reason why Jesus came, okay? But what do you think? To me, if I'm not mistaken, it sounds like those angels just told us who's qualified to receive God's peace. Come on, did you catch that? Those people who God are pleased with, the people who God favors, those are the people who qualify for God's peace. People who he favors or people that God is pleased with. Friends, those are the qualifications for receiving true peace. If you're going to receive God's peace, that's the qualifications you have to have. Okay, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you just got bummed out a little bit? If you're honest with yourself, okay, don't raise your hand. If you're honest with yourself, how many of you feel like it's going to be really hard for you to get some of God's peace because you're just not totally convinced that he's pleased with you? And you're definitely not convinced that he favors you. Come on. Okay, listen to me. Don't get bummed out just yet. Okay, but If you did get bummed out, even just a little bit, or if you feel like, man, I just don't know if I qualify, okay? If you're bummed out even just a little bit, I want to explain why I think you got bummed out, at least in part, okay? Here's why I think you got bummed out, and follow me. It's going to sound funny at first, okay? You really got to follow me here, okay? Here's why, because we misunderstand why Jesus came. We misunderstand why Jesus came. We misunderstand the main reason why Jesus was born, why he lived the sinless life, why he died on the cross, and why he rose again. We misunderstand that, and that misunderstanding leads to all kinds of frustrations and disappointments and even bummer feelings, and can leave us in a place where our lives have little or no peace. Let me keep explaining this, okay? So this past Tuesday evening, I was having dinner with my two sons. We had a float decorating party for the Parade of Lights this past Tuesday, and so Rachel was already out, and she was helping decorate the float. It was just me and my boys having dinner together, okay? And so then my oldest son, who's seven, he, in the middle of dinner, he said something awesome to me, okay? And it's something he's said a few times over the past couple of weeks, but he kind of repeated it, and he said it again. He said something awesome, but I want you to hear this. It was also a little concerning at the same time, okay? So in the middle of dinner, me and my boys are hanging out, and my son, he says to me, he goes, "Dad, I prayed and trusted Jesus to take away my sins." Awesome, right? But a little bit concerning at the same time. And some of you guys have no idea why that's concerning, but I'll explain it, okay? And hey, just to be clear, he goes to a Christian school, and we love it, okay? But they've been talking for the past several weeks in school about making the decision to trust Jesus to take away your sins, okay? And so he's been listening to that. And listen, he's only 7 years old, and so in large part, he's been repeating what he's been hearing at school about making the decision to trust Jesus to take away your sins. And come on, we need Jesus to take away our sins, amen? Come on, Jesus is our only hope, right? Okay, and I really believe he's sincere. He wants Jesus to take away his sins. Okay, but here's why this is just a little bit concerning though, okay? And follow me. Listen to me here, okay? Especially if you got bummed out. Again, here's why this is a little bit concerning, and this may shock you this morning, but listen to me. Taking away our sins wasn't Jesus's main objective for being born on earth. Taking away our sins wasn't Jesus' main objective for coming to the earth. Listen to me. The main goal for Jesus wasn't to take away our sins. Friends, we misunderstand. We misunderstand and we minimize why Jesus came for us, why he was born for us, why he lived the sinless life, why he died on the cross for us, and why he rose again for us. We misunderstand and we minimize why Jesus came for us, and then we miss out on so much more he has for us. We get bummed out when we believe that having our sins taken away is the main reason why Jesus came. Listen to me, friends. The main reason why Jesus came wasn't to take away your sins. The main reason he came was to bring peace. He came to bring peace. The angels said it. They proclaimed it. They said, "We bring you good news of great joy for all people. The Messiah, the Christ, Jesus has been born. Glory to God in the highest heaven, because Jesus has come. He's arrived on the scene to bring about God's main desire, his main objective, to bring peace. To restore peace between God and men. The main reason he came was so that you could qualify for God's peace. He came to make a way for you to enter into a position of favor with God, for you to be in a position where God is pleased with you. I'll say it this way, to be in now and forevermore the best relationship you could possibly imagine, the most pure, vibrant, fulfilling, adventurous, loving, purpose-filled, peace-filled relationship you could possibly imagine as God being his, or with, I'm sorry, with God as his son or his daughter. Look, did Jesus come to take our sins away? Absolutely. So that there is a higher purpose, so that we could have peace with God. Are you guys following me? Are you? Come on. Okay, keep following me. I'm going to keep explaining this, okay? Listen, Taking away our sins is how. It's how he qualifies us to receive God's peace. It's the how, it's not the why. It's the how, it's not the why. The why is because God loves you and he wants peace with and for you. That's why he came, because he wants you to experience true peace, which is only found in relationship with God through Jesus. Church, do we understand that apart from relationship with Jesus, the Bible says we're still stuck in our sins. Apart from relationship with Jesus, this is what the Bible says, we're still in opposition to God. In fact, when we're still stuck in our sins, the Bible says this, we are still God's enemies. Come on, that's the opposite of peace, right? So God's greatest desire, his main objective, was to restore peace between God and men, restore right relationship between God and men. So here's how he did it. Here's how he does it. He takes away our sins. He deals with our sin problem. But here's what we do, here's what we've done, and it causes confusion, it causes frustration, stress, anxiety, and more. We substitute the how for the why. We put the how in the place of the why all the time. We have said for the longest time, we have taught people for the longest time, and we have believed for the longest time that the main reason Jesus came was to take away our sins. Friends, I would argue that if you make the main goal taking away our sins, then you are going to miss out on peace. If you miss the main reason why Jesus came, you will miss out on the peace that he alone can give you, because you're missing out on the relationship with Jesus where the peace comes from. Let me illustrate this further, okay? Again, here's why what my son said was just a little bit concerning, okay? Because when I asked him, son, why do you want to trust Jesus to take away your sins? Here's what he said. He said, Dad, because that way I don't have to go to hell. Now listen, grace to that little kid. And I don't want to hear about anybody in here like going to freaking out my son and trying to preach to him to get him saved. Amen. That kid's a little disciple. We're discipling him. He's 7 years old, and he could probably school you in some Bible stuff. He could school me in some Bible stuff, okay? Everybody cool? Grace to my little son. Amen. I need to hear you say amen, Pastor Brandon. Okay. But come on, listen. How many of you can relate to what he said about not going to hell? How many of you can relate to that? I can't. Listen to me, church. Everything he's repeating right now is what I heard in large part, at least the kind of the message I heard growing up in church. Ask Jesus to take away your sins so that you don't have to go to hell. Not ask Jesus to take away your sins so that you can be in the most fulfilling relationship that you need. Ask Jesus to take away your sins so that you don't have to go to hell. Friends, can I tell you something? That's manipulation. That's using fear to try to drive people towards Jesus. The problem is Jesus doesn't use fear to draw people to himself. He uses kindness. But I'm telling you, I can relate. Church, I would have told you my whole life that I was a Christian. All those years growing up, I went to church every Sunday. I prayed the prayer hundreds of times. Jesus, would you please take away my sins? Because I don't want to go to hell. Because I don't want to go to hell. But here's what I never understood. That Jesus takes away our sins through the most fulfilling relationship we could ever have with him. That Jesus will give peace and so much more if I would choose not just to trust him to take my sins away, but if I would choose to trust and commit to and rely upon him with my entire life. Jesus isn't interested in simply taking away your sins. Jesus is interested in everything that you are, church family. And honestly, this is where so much of the dry, stale, boring, lifeless, hopeless, religious mentality that permeates this town, this is where that stems from. We need Christmas Town, amen? Come on. And listen, true Advent is how we're going to have Christmas Town. Come on, the true hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that only Jesus can give. That's how you get Newton reborn. Amen? Church family, here's why so many people in church today are still so stressed out and full of anxiety and fear, because they really haven't trusted and committed to and relied upon Jesus with their whole lives. So many people in church today have only wanted Jesus to take away their sins so that they don't have to go to hell. Or so that, man, let me get all the benefits. Let me get all the benefits of what Jesus would do, but the relationship? Not so much. It hasn't gone any further than that. We have substituted the how for the why. Friends, simply keeping you and me out of hell is not the reason Jesus came. Come on. He came so that you can have peace with God. He came so that you can have life and have it to the full through Him. He came so that you could have a real relationship with God. And I'm talking about real relationship. The kind of relationship that uses these kinds of words, son or daughter. Come on, son or daughter of God, brother or sister of Jesus. And how about this? Friend. Friend of God. Did you know that's possible? Did you know it's possible for you to be God's friend? So, church family, how do we qualify for God's peace? How do we qualify? How do you qualify for God's peace? How do you become a person that God favors or a person that God is pleased with? Come on, how many guys want God to be pleased with you? Somebody's shouting at me. How many guys want God's favor? I know a bunch of you aren't raising your hands, but you want it bad. Amen? Here's how you can have it. It's so easy. It's so easy. You start a relationship with God. Listen to me, and this might blow your mind. You start a friendship with Him. You start a friendship with God. You make the decision to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus with your whole life. And I'm not talking about a one-and-done decision. I'm not talking about a one-and-done kind of prayer where you pray, Jesus, I trust in, I commit to, and I rely upon you. Okay, now I'm good to go. And then you move on with life as if God really doesn't exist and you do what you want. That's not a relationship. Once again, that's using Jesus as a means to an end. That's going right back to minimizing why it is He came. It's not a one and done kind of decision. It's a from here on out kind of decision where you say, Jesus, I want to be in relationship with You. I want to live life with You the way You want me to. I want the peace that only You can offer. I want the life that only You can give. I want to receive the love that You have for me. I choose to love You back. So yes, please forgive my sins, but let's take it so much further than that. I want everything that You want for me. I want to be Your friend. I want Your help. I want You to lead my life from here on out. I want what You want for my life, and then You can continue to live life with Jesus. You show up with Jesus. You submit to Jesus. You talk to Jesus. You listen to Jesus. You meet with Jesus, and you love Jesus like you would love a close friend. Do you have that kind of relationship with Jesus right now? Is that the kind of relationship you have with Jesus right now? Friends, have you trusted and committed to and relied upon Jesus? And how can you know? Maybe you're here and you're like, man, I just don't know if I've really done that. Okay, how can you know if you have or not? Or how can you, okay? Well, think about it this way. Have you ever, or do you currently have a really good friend? Do you have any really, really good friends? Maybe you got multiple really good friends. Like, have you ever had a best friend? Or maybe you've got a friend that you've been friends with so long that you're like, we are friends for life no matter what. Like, we may not see each other all the time, but we know. We show up together. We are friends. Have you ever had any of those friends? Have you ever had a best friend? Okay, listen to me. If you have, what's your relationship like with that person? How do you guys treat each other? Do you trust that person? Do you trust that you can confide in that person, that you can tell them everything and anything and what's really going on in your life without fear that they will reject you? Can you trust that they will love you even if you let them down? Are you committed to that person? Are you committed to the relationship, to the friendship? Do you spend time with that person? Are you invested in the friendship? Do you care deeply for them and for their well-being? Can you rely upon them? And can they rely upon you? If you call them at 2 a.m. and you desperately need help, will they show up? And vice versa, if they call you at 2 a.m. and they desperately need help, will you show up? Have you ever had a friend like that? Okay, listen to me right now. Is that a good description of what your relationship with Jesus is like right now? Is that a good description of your friendship with Jesus right now? On the other hand, how many guys have had some bad friends over the years? Oh, come on. I know I'm not the only one. And let's face it, they're not really friends, are they? Like, no matter what, you just can't ever seem to make them happy. Like, it just seems like anything will set them off. You kind of walk on eggshells around them. If you do anything that they don't like, they treat you funny. They're always trying to get what they can get out of the relationship. If you go grab coffee with them, they spend the whole time talking about themselves. They don't show up when they say they'll show up. They'll bail on you all the time. Come on, have you had some friends like that before? Okay, can I tell you something this morning, church? And this is going to be strong. But when we substitute the how for the why, that's the kind of friend we are to God. When we substitute the how for the why, when we think that the main reason Jesus came was simply to take away our sins, this is the kind of friend we are to God. I'll speak for myself. I spent the first 24 years of my life being this kind of friend to God. I used him as a means to an end. Jesus, take away my sins so that I don't have to go to hell. I didn't understand that he wanted a relationship with me, so we didn't have one. With much grace this morning, much grace, is what I'm describing right now, is that a better description of your relationship with God right now? Is what I'm talking about right here, that kind of friend, grace. But is that a more accurate description of what your friendship is like with God right now? And so, if you're honest, you have little or no peace. And you keep trying to find peace in a whole bunch of places that aren't Jesus. Grace this morning. Here's my encouragement to all of us. Get qualified for peace today. Get qualified for peace today. Begin now to live for the why, or begin to live now more than ever for why he came. And that is so that you could live in relationship with God through Jesus. And listen to me, I want to be very clear on this, okay? Perfection isn't what qualifies you for peace. It isn't perfection that qualifies you for peace. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect, yet all of us can still qualify for God's true peace. Amen? Listen, the peace that Jesus gives is based on the fact that he's perfect. It's not based on the fact that we're perfect. It's based on the fact that we're not perfect. Come on, there's no fact there, right? It's based on the fact that he's perfect. And when you enter into relationship with Jesus, he will continue to perfect you. And over time, that will only allow you to have more and more peace in your life. Listen to me. Jesus has forgiven all my sins, past, present, and future. They're all taken care of. They're all paid for. It's amazing. Here's what's so cool, though. The more and more I do relationship with Jesus, here's what's been happening. The more power he gives me to sin less and less. It's all forgiven. I'm still the sinner. Jesus is going to be working on me until the day I die or till the day he comes back. Amen? But here's what's so cool. The longer I've been in relationship with him, the more and more I sin less. You guys don't even want to know. I sin so much less now than I did 10 or even 5 years ago. It's because of relationship with Jesus. He'll do the same thing with you. Qualify yourself today. Be a friend of Jesus today, or start qualifying yourself more than ever today. Go deeper in your relationship with Jesus today. And maybe you say, well, how do I do that? How do I go deeper in my relationship with Jesus? Well, how do you go deeper in a friendship with somebody? How do you get to know somebody more? Here's where we usually start. You talk to them, right? You talk to somebody to start a friendship, don't you? Talk to Jesus. Around here, we call that prayer. Come on, you can pray today. You can talk to Jesus today. Tell him you want a relationship with him. Ask him to forgive your sins, but say, Jesus, I don't want to leave it there. Tell him you want everything that he wants for you, and then talk to him more about that tomorrow and the day after that. And then you keep taking that thing further. So how do you get to know a person even more? Yes, you talk to them. Here's what you do. You meet with them often. You show up with them. You spend time together. And you talk about real things, don't you? Come on, when you're really getting to know somebody, the surface stuff goes away, and you begin to talk about what's really going on in your life. You want to know what I do? Here's what I do. Here's what I've been doing for a long time now, many years now. I get alone with God, and I talk to him. I do that in the morning when I wake up. I sit on my couch and I talk to God. I do that at night when I go to bed. I just lay there, and before I fall asleep, I talk to God. I do that throughout the day. I have places around town where I love to go and get alone with Jesus. You want to know one of the places that I love to get alone with Jesus the most? Here's one of the places that I love to hang out with Jesus the most. I'm not kidding. The old Alco parking lot. I hang out with Jesus several times a week at the old Alco parking lot. There's plenty of parking. Usually nobody's there. I show up there. I drive my car there. I park in a nice spot. And oftentimes I'll shut everything down. It's cold right now. Sometimes I leave the heat going. And I talk to God. It might surprise you, but Jesus hangs out in the old Alco parking lot. Every time I show up there, he's there. You should try it. I'm not kidding. Here's what I do. Listen, I talk to him, and I talk to him out loud. Do you know there's a little bit of faith that happens when you actually talk to God out loud? Because if he doesn't exist, you're a crazy person. But he exists, doesn't he? So I talk to him out loud. I talk to him out loud, and I talk to him about what's really going on. I talk to him about what I've been going through. We don't talk about surface stuff. I mean, how about them Royals, God? We don't do that. We're way past that. We talk about what's really going on, and I listen for the way he whispers to my heart. I read my Bible, and I listen to him as he's talking to me through the Word. I ask him to help me understand the Word. I ask him what he wants me to do, and then I try to go do my best to do it. And sometimes I might do a good job, and he tells me about it. Sometimes I really mess it up, and I go talk to him about it, and he doesn't reject me. He loves me. And then I ask him for help a lot. Man, I ask him for help all the time. God, I need you to help. God, I need an idea for this. I need your ideas. God, I need you to show up. There's nothing I can do over here. I need you to intervene. Please help. And God comes through. He is so faithful to answer prayer. No matter what, he always tells me he loves me. He always encourages me. And every time I leave, I always leave with a fresh dose of peace. Check this out. One last scripture for today. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Paul writes, he says, watch this. This is for people who are in relationship with God. Okay, these are the benefits of getting to be in a friendship with Jesus. If you're not in a friendship with Jesus yet, you're going to want to be after you read this, okay? Check this out. Watch what gets to happen. Don't worry about anything. Now that's countercultural right there, isn't it? Come on, that goes against everything that the world is dealing with right now. But here's what friends of Jesus get to do. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about it. Instead, pray about everything. Talk to Jesus about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience, come on, what do you experience? God's peace. which exceeds anything we can understand. You can be in the worst season of your life. You can be in a storm. Things can be blowing up all around you, and you can still have peace. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Come on, we could slip a word in there and it wouldn't, and this is what he means right here. As you live in relationship with Jesus, as you live in relationship with Christ Jesus, that's what he means right here. He's saying, when we're living in relationship so much with Jesus, I'm in Jesus. Come on, that's the kind of relationship we can have. Friends, here's how you can have peace. Live for the why. Be in a relationship with Jesus. And listen to me, you won't just receive peace. You'll receive grace and forgiveness and love and more power and more purpose than you could ever imagine. I guarantee if you find your own Alco parking lot, or you can find the Alco parking lot, you can come hang out with me. Just park a few stalls away and then we'll still be alone with Jesus together. Find your own Alco parking lot, and then do this. Be consistent in your worship of God. Be consistent to show up together with your church family. This sounds like a great time to plug the Every Sunday Challenge. Come on, you take that Every Sunday Challenge. You find yourself your Alco parking lot. You stay consistent in your relationship, your friendship with Jesus. And I guarantee your life will continue to change for the better in every way. And so listen, after my son told me about not wanting to go to hell, here's what I did. I leaned in real close to my boys. And I said, boys, can Daddy tell you about what God's done in his life? And look, they're young. I don't expect them to comprehend everything. But here's what I said. I said, I didn't trust Jesus until I was 24 years old. And you should have seen the look on my oldest son's face. He was looking at me like, Dad, that is bad. I said, I didn't trust him until I was 24 years old. I said, I prayed a whole bunch of times when I was a kid, Jesus, take away my sins. But I said, boys, here's what I didn't understand. I didn't understand that Jesus wanted to be my friend. I said, when I was 24 years old, I finally began to understand that Jesus really loves me. And I finally began to understand that him taking away my sins was only the very beginning of what he wanted to do with me. I said, so I trusted him to take away my sins, but then I started a friendship with Jesus. And I said, boys, we've been doing life together ever since, and he's my best friend. I said, we go on adventures together. I'm having the most fulfilling time of my life ever since getting to do life with Jesus. I said, to some things that they could relate to, I said, do you know why we moved from Vegas to Newton? I said, because Jesus had an idea. He said, let's go on an adventure together, family. I've got something great in mind for your family and for more families in Newton. Let's move to Newton. I said, that was Jesus' idea. I said, I'm having the time of my life, living life with Jesus. And then I brought it home to more things that they've been excited about. Talked about the parade. They were super excited for the parade this past week. I said, do you realize we get to give away fudge and hot chocolate at the parade? It's just a small way that we can tell people Jesus wants to be your friend. Jesus isn't just interested in taking your sins away. He wants to be your friend. I said, do you know how you guys gave and so we can buy Christmas presents for kids on the block and for our neighbors on the block? I said, that was Jesus' idea. We're doing an adventure together. It's just a small way we get to show people Jesus really wants to be your friend. Here's why. Because Jesus didn't come just to take away our sins. He came to bring you and me and every person around us into relationship with God. He came to give us now and forevermore peace through a now and forevermore relationship with God. Amen? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today, family? What's your friendship with God like right now? Are you living an adventure together? And is he flooding your life with peace? I'm not asking if you're perfect. I'm saying, are you in a friendship with Jesus? Do you trust him? By and large, can he, for the most part, I mean, again, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just saying, for the most part, can he trust you to show up? What's your friendship like with him? And big time grace this morning, but maybe it's not that. Maybe if you're honest, you say, man, I don't know. Maybe I have been, you know, I know this is going to be strong, but just grace, okay? But maybe I've been using Jesus as a means to an end. Jesus is quick to forgive that. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to hold on to that. I'm telling you, it's something that we've been taught, that line of thinking, for a long time. But you can have a new perspective today. You can change your motivations today. And you can say right now, Jesus, I want a friendship with you. Do you need to start a friendship with Jesus today? It's so easy. It's so easy. Yeah. Jesus, please forgive my sins, but that's not all I want you to do. Just pray that. That's not all I want you to do. I want everything that you want for me. I want the life that you want for me. I want to do life with you. Lead my life. Change my life. Be my friend. And then I'm telling you, if you pray that and you mean that, and you don't just mean it today, but you mean it tomorrow as well. Mom, if you decide, man, I'm gonna start being consistent in my friendship with Jesus. And listen, we're better together. We help each other be more consistent. If you stay consistent, I'm telling you, here's what happens. You start a friendship with Jesus, your life will never be the same. He makes you a brand new creation in the process. He says the adventure begins. Maybe you need to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. What happens if you say, Jesus, I want to commit more time. I want to talk to you more. I want to invest more in this relationship with you. I want what you want from me. I'll tell him that this morning. Dear Jesus, I pray for all of us, no matter where we're at, myself included, that we wouldn't stay where we're at in our relationship with you. I pray for those of us that need to start a relationship, a friendship with you today. I pray you would answer our prayers as we say, Jesus, would you be my friend? And would you help us, Lord, answer our prayers as we say, Jesus, we want to be the friend that you want us to be to you. Please forgive my sins, but take it so much further than that. And for all of us, Lord, we want to go deeper with you. I pray you'd help us to find our Alco parking lots. I pray you'd help us to make the decision that you are so worth showing up with the family and deserving our worship and our praise and our consistency. I pray that this week, Lord, there'd be meetings with you taking place all across this town, from Alco to downtown to neighborhoods, Lord. Come and meet with your people, Lord. We aim to meet with you. We aim to be your friend. I pray you'd pour out peace where there's not peace right now. I pray you'd bring hope where there's not hope right now. Lord, yours is a peace that goes beyond our understanding. Some of us have been walking through things and we don't understand, and it's been hard and it's been tough. I pray let your peace come and guard our hearts and our minds, just as your word says. We commit to tell you about what's going on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've made a way. We do thank you that you've taken our sins away so that we can be in relationship with you. We love you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. And it's in your name that we pray. And all my friends said, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.